But you have six members present, which is a quorum.
Thank you. So we will call the meeting to order. It's after 9 o'clock. And there are no requests for remote participation. So the meeting is strictly live. If you all join me in the pledge of allegiance to our flag.
Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
At the end of the meeting, we're going to adjourn in memory of our recent chairman, Jerry Gladback, who passed away a year ago today. And we certainly miss him, his leadership. He was a great water director and a LAFCO chair. Really, we still really miss him very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Item three is disclosure of campaign contributions. If any commissioner has received a campaign contribution that would require disclosure and recusal from an item on today's agenda, please make it known at this time. Seeing none, a few announcements. Consistent with state law, the agenda was posted to the LAFCO website and also here on site at the Hall of Administration on Wednesday, July 5th. The agenda and public hearing notices stated that interested parties are afforded the opportunity to submit comments by email or U.S. mail no later than 5 o'clock p.m. on the business day preceding the date for today's meeting. Council has reviewed the agenda and public hearing notices, and they have affirmed that the conduct of today's meeting is consistent with state law. If a roll call vote is necessary, Commission Clerk Adriana Flores will call the roll. If you make or second a motion, please do so and then state your last name so that we can enter it in the minutes. Item four is the swearing in of speakers. I do not see anyone in the room. Doug, is there anyone, Doug or Taylor, is there anyone online? George Ellis. Mr. Ellis, can you activate his microphone, please?
Hello.
Mr. Ellis, do you plan to speak today before the commission?
I do not.
Okay, thank you. Your next item, Mr. Chair, is public comment. Seeing as there is no one here for public comment, that would move you on to the consent agenda, which is agenda items 6A through 6I. Staff recommends one motion adopting the consent agenda.
Move approval.
Second. Motion's been made and second. Let's call the roll on this motion.
Commissioner Bell? Aye. Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McKellum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Chair Deer?
Yes. The motion passes. Okay. Now on. But no hearings and no protest hearing scheduled. So we're not on item nine, other items.
Mr. Chair, 9A will be presented by your legal counsel.
Good morning, commissioners. This item 9A is to approve an amendment to the employment agreement of LAFCO's executive officer, Paul Novak, in order to provide a merit pay increase. At your June 14th meeting, your commission met in closed session to conduct a performance evaluation of the executive officer and to confer with the designated labor negotiator, Chair Deer. The commission directed Chair Deer to negotiate a merit raise with the executive officer and to provide an amendment to the executive officer's employment agreement to document the negotiated merit raise. The proposed amendment will provide the executive officer with annual merit pay increases of 3% annually, effective on August 1st, 2023, August 1st, 2024, and August 1st, 2025. The amendment also converts the automobile allowance of $6,708 per year to salary effective August 1st, 2023, and eliminates the award of an annual cost of living adjustment effective August 1st, 2023. There are no other changes to the employment agreement. The recommendation before the commission is to approve amendment number 4 to the employment agreement by and between LAFCO and Executive Officer Paul Novak, and to instruct the chair to execute the amendment on behalf of the commission. Thank you.
All right, are there any questions? A motion to make the amendment.
Move approval.
For a second?
Second.
I think Director Bell seconded, I heard him. Any other discussion? Please call the roll.
Commissioner Bell? Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lewis? Commissioner McKellum?
Yes.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell? Chair Deere?
Yes, and it passes. Okay, we're on item B, service recognition.
Mr. Chair, I am pleased today to recognize LAFCO analyst Alicia O'Brien, who is celebrating her 20th anniversary of employment with LAFCO. She was, absolutely. She was originally hired as the GIS technician on July 1, 2003, and as of June 18, 2012, she became an analyst. She processes special district applications. She worked on recent MSRs for the Resource Conservation Districts, the Healthcare Districts, the Cemetery Districts, and the Recreation and Parks Districts. Please join me in recognizing Alicia O'Brien for 20 years of exemplary and dedicated service to LAFCO, and I will present her with her 20-year pin.
Years, a long time. It wasn't all easy either, was it?
Do you know what was the number one movie at the box office 20 years ago?
I don't, but I suspect you're going to.
I don't.
Like, oh.
Yeah, the first, number two.
Thank you again for your service. Item C.
Good morning, Commission. Before I proceed, I'd want to double check and allow the public to speak on this item before I present to the Commission. Taylor, do we have anyone calling in to speak on this item? Will you please allow her to speak if she would like to address the Commission?
Yes.
Ms. Jackman, did you want to speak?
And there's no one else to speak on the item?
No, thank you.
There we go.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so, I will proceed with just a quick summary. Last month ended the interview process for the alternate public member position. And at this time, the commission may discuss and appoint the new alternate public member. A list of candidates was provided to you in the staff report, just as a refresher. And also, the audio files were made available to you as well. And also, the applications were emailed to you separately. If the commission would like to discuss and appoint an alternate public member, this would be the time. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I really want to thank the staff for all of the work you put into this, and to thank everyone who submitted applications. You know, joining LAFCO myself still relatively recently, I'm clear that not many people understand that LAFCO exists and what the unique role it is we play. But I'm clear that the work that we do is really consequential, especially as we consider applications for city incorporation and annexation. I commissioned a study last year with a group of 6 UCLA policy students to really delve deeply into the realities of my constituents who live in unincorporated areas. I represent the most unincorporated communities on the board. And so we asked questions around quality of life and outcomes that they experience. And I want to thank LAFCO staff, Paul and Adriana, for the support they provided to the students over the last year. Appreciate that. The results of the study were, in summary, that many unincorporated communities face inequities in quality of life outcomes and political representation. And as you all know, a city's got to agree to annex an unincorporated area, and there's a lot of discretion on all sides of the process. And that discretion inevitably means that sometimes bias creeps into the process. I'm clear that LAFCO can play an important role in challenging bias and ensuring that we help to advance the most equitable outcomes across all districts that we govern. And this starts with bringing a more diverse pipeline of commissioners into this space as well. So I would like for us to consider and make a motion when it's appropriate that we continue this item to give LAFCO staff time to do more recruitment in areas of the county and among communities not currently represented on this body. I would volunteer my colleagues on the board to use our networks, some of our existing county commissioners and boards that currently serve the county as a potential place to draw candidate names from. So what I'm suggesting, Mr. Chair, is that we table the decision and continue the recruitment process.
I'll second that.
Most of the tables been seconded. Other discussion?
Go ahead. And this is something, obviously, I've been on this long enough to see that we've had several recruitments. Did we have a lower than average number of applicants?
It doesn't happen very often, and it's been all over the map, but this was on the low end. We've had as many as 22. This year we had 14. I want to say the average was closer to 16 to 18. So I would say that we would certainly welcome the opportunity, as Supervisor Mitchell has suggested, to try to expand that outreach. Just so you understand what we do, we alert the county planning department has a homeowner association list. We use that. We use the LA City Neighborhood Councils, which is real easy because it's 2,500 people in one email. We send it to the cities, all the special districts, all of the chambers of commerce, the councils of government. We also post it, the county library, and posts it in all of the libraries. It's still hard to know whether that outreach works or not until the close of the period. But I do certainly think there is merit to the suggestion of allowing a little more time. The one recommendation I would make is, in fairness to the current applicants, you had 14 applicants, would just be to direct us to alert them that the process has been extended, there's a new deadline date of X, you as a current applicant do not need to do anything, you would stay in the mix.
Okay, I'm all about it.
And if I could make a comment, I think that's an excellent idea. Thank you, Supervisor. And I think it might be upon us to actually, because I think the last time I really didn't participate, this time in time of trying to recruit people, I think this would give me an opportunity to reach out, because these are I'm in an unincorporated area and what have you, and we have a lot of challenges. And so I will volunteer my services actually to try to recruit additional people to interview.
There is no better spokesman for LAFCO than the 15 elected commissioners. Yeah. So we certainly do all that we can, but we don't have the networks that you do. So we would welcome your active participation in recruiting.
And I would say, actually, the networks are so different than the ones you use. It really is us calling people for the most part, and calling our spheres of influence that then influence other people to get to the table. So we'll do that. Thank you.
And don't think that we didn't catch the play on words with the sphere of influence.
I've learned it.
You know, and Mr. Chair, I would offer, I don't want to make the suggestion and suggest that it just be kind of a forever search. If staff want to give us a deadline by which so we can all work toward that, I'm absolutely would support that.
We'll look at the amount of time we did the last time, and I'll propose something to you next month before we set a firm deadline.
Fair enough. In the meantime, we'll be making our calls and putting on our thinking caps.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Would it be appropriate right now to select an ad hoc committee for the selection process so we can move it forward?
Yes, thank you for suggesting that. The last time you did this, the ad hoc committee was, correct me if I'm wrong, Adriana, it was Commissioner Matthews, Commissioner Finley, and Commissioner Barger. Is that right?
That is correct.
So at a minimum, you need three. And so if you want to keep those two, Mr. Chair, it's really up to you who you would like to appoint. You may want to call for a volunteer or certify that Mrs.
I'll stay on again.
Okay, Margaret. For sure.
Since I brought the motion forward, I'll be happy to serve.
You did? Okay, is there a gentleman who wants to be on this?
I don't think I can, right?
You cannot.
Yeah.
But you are a gentleman anyway.
Thank you.
Did you want to keep Supervisor Barger as well? You can have a committee, correct me if I'm wrong, Tiffany, it's up to four, is that correct? Yes, because that's not a quorum, so.
Okay, we'll keep Barger also, yes.
I don't know.
I think we already have four, Anthony.
Who's the fourth?
Yeah, who's the fourth?
Because you have Finley, Mitchell,
one,
and
two,
Barger.
Three, and then who's not Barger?
It's Barger, Mitchell, and Finley. But last time you had Matthews. Matthews was an alternate.
I said I'd be
Matthews served last time, and I guess Tony.
I said I'd
yeah.
Commissioner Marish has just volunteered.
I volunteered before, and Don sort of gave me the nod.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it.
Give him the nod.
So it's Finley, Mitchell, Barger, and Marish? Okay.
You lucky dog, John.
It's a virtual meeting. We make it easy for you. So we'll work around your schedule.
Chair?
Yes.
Before I make my constructive comments there, I'd like to, before we vote on this particular motion, I think you need to amend the motion to conjoin both the extension and the appointment of the interviewing committee. Would that be in order?
Yes.
Okay, so that's my suggestion. So the people who made the first and second would have to agree to the change of the motion.
You agree?
In the meanwile,
yes, they indicate they did.
We have already spent a certain amount of time. I know I'm new to the board, but I've seen the difficulty in maintaining a quorum. Of the 14 individuals, we didn't get them all, but the remaining ones who've stuck it out to this time have shown the willingness to serve. And I think it would be, I don't think it's bad that we seek more input and representation, but at the same time, I want those who did make the effort to apply for this position know that their effort was not in vain and was welcome. So I will be voting no on the motion.
Well, wait, why though? Because Paul made the suggestion that that would be the case and Supervisor Mitchell agreed with it. So that's part of her motion now, that the people who applied are in the mix, they don't have to reapply.
I understand. But I'm talking about the appointment of the interviewing committee being folded into the existing motion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, is the staff clear on what the motion is?
Yes, sir.
Okay, please call the roll.
Commissioner Bell. Commissioner Finley.
Yes.
Commissioner Lewis. Commissioner McCallum.
Yes.
Commissioner Marish.
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell.
Aye.
Chair Deere.
Yes, and the motion passes.
And I just want to say something. Holly, I didn't know you, I mean, this is great, these kids that you were working with for the unincorporated islands and things like that. I would like to tap into that information someday.
Absolutely. It was they focus on unincorporated communities in the second district.
Okay.
But you know, it was the public policy school at UCLA, and they look for group projects. And so it's, you know, young people pursuing advanced degrees in planning, public policy, a variety of disciplines, and so, and I'll share the report with you. It's really well done.
Yeah, and I really would like to see it. Again, we're kind of surrounded by mm-hmm. unincorporated Monrovia, Duarte, Arcadia, and it's, you know, I take a look. I drove through there the other day, and it was like, you have dirt roads, and it's like, let's go ahead and improve this quality of life here, whether it's via the county or annexing to a different city, so.
Which is why I commissioned the report to really get an assessment of the quality of life, if you will, from the perspective of the constituents and just this kind of analytic process. That's why I commissioned the report, and it's really kind of governing a lot of the work I'm doing in the second district, the unincorporated communities. It's providing guidance to my constituent services outreach team. So it was very helpful.
Wow.
And I would just say to Commissioner Lewis, I completely agree with you. And a part of my process for the 200 boards and commissions for the county that I have appointing authority over, the first question we ask is their willingness to serve and to be very explicit about what that means in terms of showing up to meetings. And, you know, when I came on as a new board member, when I reviewed all the appointees I inherited, the first folks I kind of said thanks for your service were people who didn't show up. So I agree with you. And I think the committee that's going to do the outreach, that should be a part of our conversation, expectations about showing up to meetings.
I wonder if we also shouldn't consider some of the people who may not have known what LAFCO was, but have been involved, like people with the Sativa Water District or Royal Oaks, who came and became involved. These are citizens who understand now the importance of LAFCO. It seemed like from the people who came to talk about the Sativa, the many people, and Royal Oaks, there might be some great candidates there who would say, you know what, I've seen this and I'm willing to serve. And that, to me, is almost the best way of convincing people that what we do is actually, even though we're not well known, matters.
My list for Sativa may be a little bit outdated, but I do have a community stakeholder list for Sativa. And Royal Oaks is easy. I'll pass it on to Andrew Smith, and he can certainly let the residents there know. But we'll follow up on both of those.
Thank you. Are we voted on the motion? Yeah.
Yes.
Passed. All right, we'll go on to the next item on the agenda, which is item D.
9D is a report to the commission concerning the city selection committee. At your April 12th meeting, you discussed the feasibility of state legislation to allow the LA County City Selection Committee to meet virtually. At the time, we asked you to support AB 1053, which was legislation that would authorize it. Since then, we have learned that AB 1053 has died. There is no current legislative proposal to address the issue. I would note it's relatively late in this legislative year, but that sometimes presents an opportunity looking forward. So staff recommends you can either direct us to just receive and file the report, or you could ask us to prepare a letter to local legislative leaders that Chair Deere would execute, asking that they consider introducing a new bill concerning this issue.
So as the chair of city selection, I would urge that latter course, because We actually were able to get a quorum for an appointment for La Casa. We had a meeting here, but it's not always a given that we do. And the fact is that during the time where we had remote participation, we had record levels of participation from all of the cities. You know, in this day and age of climate consciousness, wanting people to drive, you know, maybe 100 miles or more, certainly more round trip, for a meeting that could be a half hour, it doesn't make sense. And there is a way to ensure public participation as well. I would urge, I simply don't understand the reasoning that Sacramento legislators are so apprehensive to allow this group to meet in a way that has been proven to work. It makes no sense to me. And so I would urge us to move forward, and maybe Supervisor Mitchell, with some of her colleagues, maybe she ex-colleagues, maybe knows some who would be willing to carry something. You know, it's probably late in this season, but there are still gut and amends and that sort of thing. So I think it's important, because certainly when we have other vacancies, though, the vacancy for member Matthews wouldn't be with city selection. But it's important not only for this group, but for other groups such as La Casa and a library commission and that sort of thing. So I would appreciate this, I would appreciate LAFCO's support.
So you're in favor of alternative A, then, the first alternative?
No, I'm in favor of the alternative that we don't just file and receive, that we actively try and...
Yeah, that's alternative A here.
Okay, yeah.
And we'll work on a draft letter, and I'll share it with the chair and Commissioner Mirisch before we get it to the chair to sign.
Okay, very good. There's no need for a motion at this time. We'll go on to item C, 6C.
No, E, right? 9.
Oh, yeah, E. My eyes are not working too well today.
Can you either a motion and roll call or a voice vote, Mr. Chair, on that item?
Oh, on 9D, the one we were discussing? Okay, let's call.
Second.
We will call a roll on the motion. Go ahead.
Commissioner Bell? Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lewis? Commissioner McKellum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marisch?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Chair Dear?
Yes, and the motion passes. Now we'll go on to item 9E. Thank you.
This item is for commission-appointed voting members for the southern region of CalLAFCO. Los Angeles is part of the working group with five other LAFCOs in the southern region. The group meets periodically about four times a year to discuss topics of interest such as legislation, CalLAFCO board nominations, information sharing, and they do engage in joint efforts such as annual audits. During the meetings, at least one representative from each LAFCO votes on the agenda items, including minutes from prior meetings and nominations of its officers currently on rotation, allowing each LAFCO to be represented. The group works to achieve a consensus in selecting Southern Region representatives to the CalLAFCO Board of Directors. The Southern Region's bylaws require each LAFCO to appoint a voting member and an alternate member. Staff is recommending that the commission appoint the chair as the voting member for the Southern Region of CalLAFCO and designate alternates as follows. First vice chair, followed by second vice chair, any other commissioner in attendance, the executive officer, and lastly, followed by the deputy executive officer.
Let me ask a question. What happens if the three executive officers of the board, of the commission, in other words, the chair and the vice chairs, aren't there, and there are two or more other commissioners there? Who decides which commissioner has the vote?
Generally, I think they could volunteer, and would that be appropriate? Whichever one would like to volunteer to represent LAFCO at that time.
If it's your preference to have something stated, we could say based on priority of tenure on the commission, whoever was the longer serving commissioner. I mean, I think most things at Southern Region have kind of been done by consensus. I don't know that it's presented an issue. Generally, one of the chair, first or second vice chairs, it's not like there's eight of you, there's usually two or maybe three of you at most.
I think there hasn't been a problem in the past. I was just seeing what would happen if we had two people that were an equal call to be the chair. They have to agree between themselves.
Yeah.
Who the chair is.
Do we want to base it on tenure and amend the motion?
Before that, is this meeting going to be virtual? Is that an option, or do you have to be in person?
The direction seems to be, given the geography, that it's, all, I wouldn't say unanimous, but it is definitely the consensus of most participants that all meetings going forward be virtual. So for staff, it is obviously much easier. I'm trying to think of a delicate way to put it. We've had a challenge getting commissioners to come to the meetings because the central location is generally Orange or Riverside, again, for a meeting that usually is not more than 90 minutes. So it kind of commits you to an all-day meeting. Keep in mind, your most remote Southern Region LAFCO is Imperial. They generally drive 2 hours to San Diego, hop on the Amtrak to Orange, so it's a long day for them. So my expectation going forward is there could be an in-person meeting, but I think it's highly unlikely. I think most going forward will be virtual.
Is there any benefit in doing one of the meetings, one of the quarterly meetings in person and the others virtual?
We were doing that pre-COVID almost consistently. The January meeting was usually in person. The will of the other LAFCOs has generally been in favor of virtual.
Okay.
Well, is there a motion to approve this recommendation as listed?
Make a motion to do so.
A second?
Second.
Okay, so then when we do this, other different committees that I sit on, it's beneficial. Say if Don can't be there and Gerard can't be there and
you can't be there.
No, and I can be, and I've never sat in on one of these because I am third on the totem pole, so to speak. is there any benefit in having, because I don't know, do you go to most of the meetings, the virtual meetings?
No, not lately. But I have due to some health problems, I haven't gone to a lot of meetings this last year, but usually I went to all the meetings.
Okay, yeah. But again.
And Jerry Gladbach, he went to all the meetings.
But my point being, I get a call, you're going to be doing it. Should we be sitting in on some of these meetings ahead of time to be brought up to speed, or that's not the way this works because it doesn't really matter?
We've made it our practice to invite the entire commission. It's generally 3 to 6 of you at any given time who show an interest. This time, for example, I think Commissioner Lewis, there's a meeting in a couple of weeks. So Adron, I think, has already spoken a little bit to him, and we may speak to him a little bit more about this is what we'd like you to expect. Most of what's being discussed is really just collaborative issues. The one substantive item that comes up every year is there's a formal vote for the Southern Region representative on the CALAFCO board. We don't like to air that dirty laundry at a vote at this annual conference with 200 people. So it's always been kind of achieved by consensus in this meeting once a year. But beyond that, I think even if you showed up having never gone, you would A, benefit from it, and B, wouldn't need a lot of prep time. But we're certainly happy to brief anyone on this is what to expect going forward. There has been a fair amount of turnover on all 6 of the Southern Region LAFCOs. So yeah, I mean, I would say 5 years ago, Don, Jerry, and Gerard were pretty much at almost every meeting unless one of them had a conflict. That's changed not only for us, I think it's changed for all LAFCOs these days just because of various conflicts. The virtual is helping in that regard. We're getting better attendance.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and try to zoom in on that, because again, I have no idea exactly what is done at these meetings.
And I can send you a couple agendas from prior meetings. Okay. And give you a sense of what's been discussed, agendas and minutes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Any other discussion?
Just before we move on, I'd like to, an email was sent inviting the entire commission, and the next meeting is July 25th. It is virtually, and it's at 10 a.m. If anyone is interested, please let me know, and I'll forward you the meeting details, agenda, etc. And for those of you that have replied, thank you.
Please call the roll of the motion.
Commissioner Bell? Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McKellum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Chair Gere?
Yes, and motion passes. We're now on item 10.
10A is a request that the commission oppose Assembly Bill 399. Existing law, the County Water Authority Act, was adopted by the legislature and signed into law by the governor in 1944. Since its adoption, the only special district formed under County Water Authority Act is the San Diego County Water Authority. Separately and unrelated, in April of 2020, representatives of 2 districts, the Fallbrook Public Utility District and the Rainbow Municipal Water District, filed proposals with San Diego LAFCO to detach from the San Diego County Water Authority and to concurrently annex to the Eastern Municipal Water District in Riverside County for purposes of receiving wholesale water. San Diego LAFCO has been processing this proposal since that time, so for the last 3 years. They've conducted extensive outreach to engage all stakeholders, and they expect to make a decision this summer. AB 399, introduced recently by Assemblymember Tasha Borner, seeks an affirmative vote of the San Diego County Water Authority electorate, which is most of the County of San Diego, as a statutory condition to any member agency receiving LAFCO approval to detach. On May 15th, 2023, the bill was subject to a gut and amend process in which it was comprehensively amended to address the County Water Authority Act. Were the San Diego LAFCO to approve a detachment proposal, and under existing law, the commission approval would be subject to a confirmation election by the registered voters within the boundaries of the Fallbrook PUD and the Rainbow MWD. If AB 399 were to become law, the registered voters would include all voters in the jurisdiction of the San Diego County Water Authority. Staff notes that the sole purpose of AB 399 is to undermine San Diego LAFCO's ability to follow existing law in the Fallbrook Rainbow detachment proposal, and to contravene that existing law, the County Water Authority Act, which has been established since 1944. AB 399, if approved, would substantially change the rules just as San Diego LAFCA was set to take action on the proposal. The proposed legislation precludes the application of established statutes that were reasonably assumed to apply at the time the two districts filed their proposals in April of 2020. The proposed legislation is inconsistent with state law, given that no other provision exists that provides a special district's electorate with veto power over detachments. Staff believes that AB 399 would set a troubling precedent, one in which any public agency unhappy with the LAFCO's processing of a proposal seeks special legislation to undermine LAFCO authority. Traditionally, your commission has supported other LAFCOs when they request our conformance, support, oppose, or remain neutral relative to special legislation focused on one particular LAFCO. I would note that other LAFCOs have supported our prior requests relative to previous special legislation involving, way back when, the Vernon Disincorporation, more recently the Santa Clarita Valley Water Authority and the former Sativa County Water District. San Diego LAFCO and Cal LAFCO both oppose AB 399, and San Diego LAFCO has asked other LAFCOs to oppose the bill. Staff therefore recommends that the commission take a position opposing AB 399, authorize the chair to sign letters documenting the position, and direct staff to convey this opposition to legislators, the governors, and other stakeholders.
All right, that's pretty clear. Is there a motion?
Actually, can I just say a few words? I actually watched the hearing yesterday on this in San Diego, and it was quite troubling, to be honest with you, because the residents were clearly opposed to the action that the LAFCO was proposing. And I'm sort of torn on this because I get exactly what our authority is, but I was really troubled that the community just seemed underrepresented in terms of the detachment. And I think this probably needs a little bit further discussion to really understand exactly the role in which the public plays to these various agencies, because the way that was handled was really atrocious, to be honest with you.
I regret that I did not see the commission meeting yesterday. It just wasn't on my radar that they were hearing it. So
I got calls from, I think, every water agency thinking it was that we were in charge of San Diego for some reason. And so I was like, what is this about? And so I decided to actually sit and watch the whole hearing, which went quite long. They actually had to take breaks because there were so many community members opposing the detachment, but they had no voice. And I think there was, I think it passed 5-3. It was very close. And you could tell between the public members were opposed to this detachment as opposed to the appointed members. So I don't know what I'm actually saying here, but it just was really sort of troubling that the public just really didn't have a voice into this. And so if I wasn't a LAFCO member and I didn't understand the role and responsibilities we have, I probably would vote for this. But looking at it from the public member side, it just was not kosher, to be honest with you. Thank you.
Any other discussion? I kind of think I don't really agree with you. I think we need to support our fellow LAFCOs on this, my feeling. Is there a motion on this item from anyone? No one wants to make, I'll make the motion as recommended by staff.
Second.
Any other discussion? Let's call the roll.
Commissioner Bell? Aye. Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lewis? Commissioner McKellum?
No.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Chair Deere?
Yes, and the motion passes. Pray. All you can do.
Was torn.
Right. We'll go on now to item 11, commissioner's report. Are there any commissioners who have reports to make? We've already done a lot of talking. Okay, we'll go on then to item 12, executive officer's report.
Just a couple items. One is Cal LAFCO, the board of directors, is conducting an election to appoint a county supervisor and a special district representative for the Cal LAFCO Southern Region. As you may know, there's a 16-member board of Cal LAFCO. Each of the regions, yours is the Southern Region, Imperial, San Diego, Orange, Riverside, San Bernardino, and us. has four representatives, a county, a city, a special district, and a public member. The incumbent for the county seat, Imperial County Supervisor Mike Kelly, is not seeking another term. The incumbent for the special district seat, San Diego LAFCO Commissioner Joe McKenzie, is seeking another term. The CALACVA Board of Directors is a significant time commitment. The board members attend four all-day in-person meetings per year held at locations throughout the state. Board members are expected to attend the three-day CALAFCO annual conference, which is also moved around the state. And each board member is expected to serve on a subcommittee, awards, election, or legislation, which involves additional time commitment. The deadline to submit an application is September 18th, 2023. If any county or special district commissioner is interested, please let me know, and we would need to agendize your nomination at next month's meeting. The second item I wanted to address, and if Taylor could pull up the slide, please. As you recall, you adopted a fee increase which took effect on July 1st. As shown as on the slide above, we've been very busy for the last couple months. There was a significant increase in the number of proposals filed with LAFCO in May and June, and in advance of those fee increases. As the slide shows, and over the first 4 months of the year, we received an average of two proposals a month. For May and June, we received an average of more than 14. We also typically receive about two proposals a month from the county sanitation districts. We received 12 for each of the past 2 months. We're working diligently to manage the influx. We're doing everything we can to expedite the review, processing, and scheduling of those proposals. I'd like to thank all of our staff. They've been working very diligently with several applicants to make sure that they met the deadline. This includes the county sanitation districts, our largest customer, for lack of a better term, the Resource Conservation District of the Santa Monica Mountains, the city of Pico Rivera, and three individuals. So I just wanted to again acknowledge the staff for all the work that they did, making sure that we help these folks save money by getting it filed before the fee schedule change took effect. And that concludes my report.
Very good. Thank you. If there are no questions on the report, we'll go on to public comment.
Is there any member of the public who would like to be heard by the commission? We have an anonymous caller who's called in. Would you like to be heard by the commission? They're unmuted, correct? Okay. One last time, would you like to be heard by the commission? With that, I would turn it back to you, Mr. Chair.
All right, well, no one else has comments to make. Our future meetings are August 9th, September 13th, and October 11th. We are going to adjourn this meeting in memory of Jerry Gladbach, passed away a year ago yesterday. We certainly still miss him very much. This meeting is adjourned. Yeah, in a year.